Hello and welcome to Mediumship Matters with me, Hannah McIntyre. Thank you so much for listening. Today I found out, well actually yesterday if I'm being fully honest, that the podcast has just gone over 80,000 downloads. That is mind-blowing. It's incredible. And I just wanted to start today by saying thank you, because I really do feel like this podcast is a collaborative effort. Yeah, we've got the beautiful Mediumship Natters girls who come on and share their wisdom and their knowing and their perspective, which is just so fantastic. I've got you guys there with your questions and your clapbacks and your different takes on things, which I just love hearing, and your reviews and your shares. Just thanks, guys. What a team. Of course, because it's me and it is the end of September, I'm really hoping that we can get to 100,000 downloads for 2022, because that would be fun, wouldn't it? What's life without targets? And that kind of ties in with today and the topic, which is the waiting game. And it's always interesting because sometimes I come at this podcast and I think I know what I want to talk about, and then it goes off in different directions and things like that. And sometimes I get the title and I've got a rough idea of where it's going to go, but then we just flesh it out when I start talking. And I was trying to write notes about what I was going to speak about before I hit record, and they just wouldn't come. And I knew that Spirit wanted to work with me in this moment to direct it. So we'll see where we go. Now, one of the things that I'm really experiencing with people at the moment is people being stuck, people waiting for permission, waiting for something to happen, waiting. And it's such an interesting energy. I think that there's something in the human condition, or certainly in our programming at this time on Earth, where we become very disempowered and we sit and we wait and we feel like we have to be given our future rather than create our future. And I think there's a balance in this. So let me talk about both sides. One of the things when you're trying to create the future that you want and the experiences that you want is sometimes it's a good idea to get out the bloody way, because sometimes in our interfering and our trying to make it happen and our trying to understand of the process from A to Z, and we think we know best what C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K is, then we're getting in the way of it for the spirit world, who actually know that there's a much better route. I do completely agree with that. But then we need to talk about inspired action, don't we? And this seems to be the bit that holds people back, because when we think about being inspired, we think that that's going to come from an external source, that the spirit world are going to bring somebody into our path who is going to inspire us, who is going to make it happen for us. And that, for me, is a disempowerment. I've had a run of really lovely readings with really amazing people, some spiritual assessments and card readings in the last couple of weeks. And all of those people have already known everything, I think, that I've said to them. Now, that is the human condition for sure. We all do that. We all get in our own way. And the spirit world tell us that. Not the spirit world. We tell us that we need to hear it from somebody else to believe it. But often we already know what we need to be doing. We already know the steps that we need to take. So what is it about being us that means that we won't listen to our inspiration when it feels like it's us? What is it about being a human that even though we know we've got our own spirit, our own soul, our own higher self, our own guidance system, that we still want to wait for an external force to tell us it's okay? And we all do it. I do it too. And it's so interesting to me. so many people with these amazing, fantastic plans sitting in this sort of tornado of energy when I'm communicating with them that is so exciting and so filled with wonder and energy and amazement. And they're just sitting there going, yeah, but should I though? I really want to do this, but should I do though? I really want to offer this, but should I though? And as I mentioned to you guys the other day, I've started writing my own Reiki course. And this has been momentous for me, absolutely mind-blowingly momentous, because I realize that things need changing, things need to evolve where Reiki is concerned. In honesty, I believe that in most of spirituality, there's a lot of stuff that needs to evolve and shift and change. And we're breaking down that sort of pedestal of the gifted ones and understanding that we're all gifted. We all have this connection, this knowing, this space to work with spirit. And yes, within that, there are different people suited to different aspects of it. But as an individual, we can all communicate with the spirit world, get inspiration and information from the spirit world. Just like we can all heal, just like we can all tune into whatever we want to, because energy works with intention. And the greatest intention is just allowing and accepting and getting out of the way. Why is that so hard? Should be the easiest thing to do. What is it about us that means that we just can't do that? So as I sat down to start writing the manual that I've been doing over the last week and working with spirit and asking them to inspire me and give me the words, and it's just been flowing out of me with almost a fury. It's such a fast energy. And I realize it's like a bottle with a cork in that's been shaken up and shaken up and shaken up. And finally, I'm allowing that cork to pop. But what it took for me to allow that was somebody else saying to me, dear Cece, saying to me, well, why aren't you doing this? Mikayo Azui was a human being and Kevin Kaur was a human being. What is it about you that means you think you can't add your own take on this? And for that to just, like a key, unlock my energy. It's not that Cece said anything that spirit wasn't already saying to me on some level. It was just that she opened my mind to be able to hear the answer. What is that? Why do we find it so hard? And one of the things that spirit have really been talking to me about recently for my students is momentum. It's a really important energy, and we have to understand that as mediums, we bring the momentum. As people in the physical, we bring the momentum. So it's a really important thing when you're doing a mediumship reading, I believe, to get it going, to build momentum with that spirit at the beginning, to enable the blending to take place, to enable that speed of connection and information to come through. If you start slow, you remain slow all the way through a reading. So you almost need to go faster at the beginning to not enable your brain to come in with your "you're making this up" dialogue, to build that energy with the spirit, to get it going and take control of that energy. And that, I think, is also true in us and our desires. There is a time for getting out of the way. But there is also a time when our focus on getting out of the way becomes the very thing that is holding us back. And it's a line to balance there. And of course, part of this is that we will get it wrong sometimes and we will ignore inspiration that comes. But I really feel that sometimes we're there going, can I have this, spirit? And spirit are going, yes, here it is. And then we're going, well, is that it? And they're going, yeah. Well, it doesn't look like what I want. Well, no, this is the first step of what you want. Okay, well, am I allowed that? Well, yes, of course you're allowed that. Well, am I allowed that though? I think I should just sit for you to make it clearer. And then we wait and we wait and we wait and we hold ourselves back. And do I believe that there is a time where what we want is unavailable to us? No, I don't. I think that it's always there. And Amanda was asking me the other day about potential. Is there a time limit on potential? If you do an aura graph for somebody and you can see a beautiful stream of purple energy coming in and you know its potential and you know that it's there to take that person to the next level, if they stay in that holding pattern, will they stay in that holding pattern indefinitely? And I think to a certain extent we do. And I think that free will and choice being the overriding rule of all spiritual connection and energy means that spirit can show you in as many ways as they can that it's for you. But equally, if you don't reach out and grab it, it'll just sit there. And you'll keep thinking, oh, I wish I had some inspiration. I wish I had something coming in. So there's so many ideas here, isn't there? God, there's so much I want to talk to you about and everything that just came out of my mouth with spirit then. But first of all, let's just say, why is it that we are unable to take steps? Why is it that we think that the spirit world need to bring us everything in one go? I want to climb the top of the mountain. I want to be at the top of the mountain, spirit world, but I won't take steps up it. I will wait for you to come along and transport me directly to the top of the mountain. That holds people back a lot. And that kind of, well, I want to do this, and this feels really big and epic and amazing, and I can feel the energy of where I want to be. But this tiny little step I'm taking in that direction doesn't feel big enough or worthwhile enough. And so I'm just going to wait and not do anything. What is that about? Because we all do that. I do that all the bloody time. What is that about? And can you think how frustrating it must be for the spirit world to be around us, hearing our thoughts, understanding our energy, and us saying, I really want this, and them saying, here it is. And then us saying, well, that's not all of it. And them saying, well, no, but you've got to get some steps towards it. And we go, well, that's not going to make any difference. That's a shuffle. That's not going to get me where I need to be. And then not doing anything. Yeah. And I have to say, I'm in a reflective mood at the moment. But if I look at my demonstrations and how much that has changed for me, it's just completely nuts. And so if I could give you any advice, dear listener, for your spiritual journey, for creating the things that you want, it would be, don't wait to not be afraid, because I'm still afraid. Don't wait for permission, because if they want you to do it, they'll show you. And if they don't, you will most certainly know. I've had to cancel some courses recently that spirit clearly did not want me to be teaching at this time. No one signed up for them. There's this kind of, you've got to build the momentum. You've got to get it going. You've got to step out of your comfort zone. Growth does not come so that you then feel confident stepping out of your comfort zone. It's the other way round. You step out of your comfort zone. You have that experience. You feel all of that absolutely petrifying horror of it. And then you grow. So if there's something you're waiting for and you know that it's big and you know that you almost feel greedy or like you shouldn't be asking for it or shouldn't be wanting it and you are waiting, take a little step. Take a little step, even though that voice inside of you is going to protest and say, who are you to do this? You can go, okay, cheers. I don't really know. But if I don't do it, who else is going to? And step forward. And I think that is how we find out who we are. And that is how we find out what our gifts are and what is important and unique about us. Because I do absolutely believe there is space for everybody, as long as everybody is being unique and not trying to be a copy of somebody else. That's where the problem comes in. So it's about finding this bravery that you don't think you have, the confidence that you don't believe you've got, fake it. Sit with your imposter syndrome. Let it say everything it wants to say and do it anyway. And that is how you will learn. That is how I have learned. When I first started standing in front of an audience, let's talk about that journey. I was doing spirit guide readings with oracle cards with my friend Abby. And Abby was doing mediumship. And I was so called to mediumship, but refusing to allow myself to do mediumship, believing that it was that gift that was given to some, knowing that I had this brilliant connection to spirit guides, which I've always had and I'm very grateful and lucky for, and feeling like it was greedy to ask for anything more than what I'd already got. And sometimes, I might have told you this story, but we would go to the pub for a drink afterwards. And we would sit and sort of dissect the evening. And one evening we went to a local pub and some people who had been in the demonstration were there. And this lady who I knew, who was a friend of a friend, said, "Oh, Hannah, you were good. Well done. That was all right. But Abby, oh, to have a gift like yours, that's amazing. Oh, Abby, wow. To be able to do that and reunite people with their loved ones, you are incredible." And that lady didn't mean it the way that I received it. And she may not even have said it the way that I received it, because let's be honest, we all receive through our filter of expectation. But I was heartbroken. And I went home and I cried and I said, "Oh, it's so unfair that I can't do evidential mediumship. I really want to do evidential mediumship, but I have to be happy with spirit guides. I'm sorry, spirit guides, that I'm not happy with you because I really want to do evidential mediumship, but I am grateful for everything you've given me." And then you're tying yourself up in guilt because you feel like you're spitting on your spirit guides going, "Pah, thanks for all the evolutionary inspiration and advice, but I really want to do evidential mediumship." And the whole time, spirit were there going, "If you want it, do it. If you want it, do it. Why is she not doing it?" And I know that. I know that I had to go on this journey, and I know the journey is part of it. But I also know that it was always available to me. It always was. And they just kept offering it until I got out of the way to allow it. And now when I demonstrate, funnily enough, I do a mixture of both evidential mediumship and spirit guide readings, because spirit guides are so fun and quirky and hilarious. And we do it with oracle cards because I love it and it's fun. And people ask questions and we put the questions in a hat and we pull out the questions. And the cards, 99% of the time, relate directly to the question that's been asked. And it's so funny. I had a lady the other day, this question was, I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this, "Should I tell him how I feel?" And I was working with Yasmin Boland's Moonology cards, and it had, oh, bloody hell. What was the... "A fiery climax awaits," or something like that. And everybody in the audience was cracking up because it was just so funny. "Should I tell him how I feel? A fiery climax awaits." You can't deny that spirit guides have got a sense of humour and they're very uplifting. And I think because I had so many issues about feeling disheartened, even though it's such a great thing to be able to do, so much judgment for that feeling, but it's how I felt. There we go. It took Amanda saying to me, "Why don't you ever do cards at your demonstrations? Because they're so good when you do them on lives. Everybody loves them." For me to be brave enough to go back into that old energy and see it anew. And again, to feel like spirit was saying it was okay to do that. So it's so interesting. And then, you know, I started in July last year, as you know, with a very small audience, 30 people, I think, and doing that demonstration on my own because Abby has moved away and discarded me. And, you know, that quickly grew. 30 was good. but I wanted to see what I could do with it and experiment with it. And we've had such an amazing year this year of experimenting, of pushing limitations and dealing with the judgments that myself has on that and where I sit with what I want to do with my mediumship. But I think in all of this experimentation, I'm learning what I want to do with my mediumship. And I'm understanding that actually I like a balance. I do like the small and intimate nights, but I am a performer and I love the energy of an audience. If you can get them to come on board with you, it's just takes everything to the next level. And I like to make people laugh. It's not just about my mediumship. I like the attention of it. And understanding that about myself and doing an experimental night with lots of people in Maidstone and it being not a very comfortable night for me and not very pleasant and not very enjoyable, and then feeling like that was spirit telling me I shouldn't do big nights, then doing a big night in Faversham and loving it and having one of the best nights ever, and understanding that there's more at play here than just numbers. But as I look at that bit of my journey over the last year and the path and the twists and the turns, I understand how much clarity it's given me for next year and how I just feel like I'm in the space that I need to be in. So as I'm contacting venues and some are getting back to me and some aren't, and I'm booking some and never hearing again from others and all of that stuff, I feel that I'm in a space where I can surrender to it and trust in the plan, where I don't need to keep pushing and pushing and pushing it, because I have a funny feeling that something's going to happen next year for me and I need to not be fully booked with demonstrations every week. And that's why no one's getting back to me, because even local venues that I've been working in this year aren't getting back to me. I mean, it's just nuts. There's something at play. I also accept within that that I wouldn't feel that confident in getting out the way of it had I not had the experience of the growth. And the growth came because I let my momentum build up and I took a leap completely out of my comfort zone. People say to me all the time, you've got to be so brave. How did you get brave enough? I didn't. I just really, really, really wanted to demonstrate. So booked a venue. So the Hannah's patented, registered trademark, patent pended, pending view on if you want to do it, especially with mediumship demonstrations, is book a venue. Don't wait to feel ready. Don't feel good enough. Don't hold yourself back. Just book it and then shit your pants and see what happens. I can't take away the shitting of the pants, I'm afraid, but it's just so important. And I really feel that if everybody was just doing their thing, generally speaking, everybody would be happier. It's frustration and feeling stuck and feeling trapped that is holding us all back. Don't wait for it to be perfect. I know I've said this to you before. Just start. Yeah, so if you are in the waiting game right now and you know that there's things that you want and you're waiting for spirit to bring it, why not try changing that dialogue to spirit, what can I do now to start me in the direction in which I want to go? And if it's things like money, that's when manifesting comes in. When you say things like, I really want to do this course with this person, can you help me create enough money to be able to do that? I really want to book this hall, can you help me create enough money to be able to do that? But equally, what can you do now to make it happen? If you're one of those people that came to my tiny little dems in my Reiki studio all those years ago when I was starting and you were all squashed in and there was no space for anybody, you will know it was a completely different kettle of fish to the work that I do now, both in the standard of my demonstrating, my connection and the evidence that I could bring, but also in comfort and wow factor. We were all crammed in. It wasn't comfy. It wasn't professional. It wasn't what I want from my mediumship, but I had to start somewhere. And there are so many of us that have got this wonderful ideas and inspirations of things that we want to do. And yet we're telling ourselves we can't because it's not good enough, it's not perfect, it's not this, it's not that. But you've got to start somewhere. Oh, for some reason now, I just want to talk to you about things that I did at home, which when I started, which I don't really do much work from home anymore. I've got one closed circle that I have run for many years that we meet once a month now. And those ladies who've known me for a long time, they come. But I don't like having my space as available as it used to be to people, because obviously being more out there doesn't feel as, yeah. And also it's my home, it's my family home. But I can tell you, for years I did stuff at home. I had people in my living room doing Reiki courses with the old decor that we inherited from the previous house owners that we couldn't afford to change for years. People complaining as they sat in the lumpy sofa that was Alex's grandmother's that we inherited and stuff like that. And at the time I was so stressed and trying to make it into something else. But I'm so grateful for those times now, because that was my practice zone, and I'm still practicing. God, I'm not where I want to be yet. But there's still this feeling here. When I look back at it, I'm so grateful for those times, and I can smile and I can laugh at the disasters and the time my dog made everyone jump when he started barking in the middle of a meditation, or indeed the other day when he was in circle and he just farted in the middle of it, which really did add a certain ambience to it all. And sometimes your washing machine goes off and sometimes a parcel gets delivered. But even in bigger venues, there's always something like that. In Faversham the other night, the lady just couldn't get the mic running properly. There's always something. So these little bits that you judge because you think, well, I wasn't ready for this and it needs to be perfect, are actually your training ground for bigger things if you want them. And if you don't, that's also fine. It's just finding what is right for you and your balance in it. But I don't think you'll find it until you get some movement in your energy. And that is your job and not something that spirit can do for you. That's the thing. We all sit and wait. They'll bring it, they'll bring it. And we're stuck there still, waiting like a statue, and they need us to bring that movement and start the ball rolling. So take that first step, even if it feels ridiculously small in the grand scheme of things. It feels like it's not going to happen, it's not going to work, because who knows where it will take you, what it will do. And have no shame in that. What is it about modern society where we have to be promoting all the time a lack of reality? I've had it, you know. I've started my new mentorship program. I've had two lovely people to sign up for it. And then I've just had somebody else sign up. And it's funny, isn't it? Because we want to be able to go, all of that promotional shite that we see, oh, I've sold out and it's this and it's that, but actually I would rather work with three people who really want to develop and let it grow and find the right people than I would have 30 people that aren't in the right space. So why is it that we have to pretend all the time? Because I feel that urge within me, in the human part of me, to pretend that it's bigger, to not acknowledge that we're selling out, that things aren't happening, that we're cancelling courses because no one's signing up for them. That why do we need to pretend this stuff all the time? And it's the same with every demonstration that I do. Ticket sales are slow, 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 and then as soon as they start selling out, they go like dominoes. nearly all gone, sometimes instantly all of them gone. And it's just such a funny game to play all the time when you're wanting to be spiritual and you're wanting to be in that light of truth. And I would never lie. I never lie. If tickets are selling, they're selling. But just that people feel the need to do this. I've seen people on Instagram doing posts where they say nearly sold out, last few spaces available. And then a week later, they've cancelled the course because there wasn't enough attendees. And I know that it's hard, and I know that it's really difficult when you're in that space, but I also think we have to be honest, because the rest of us, we're all looking around going, holy heck, how did they do this when I can't do it, when actually nobody can? There's been an interesting thing with spiritual teachers recently and friends of mine that work, where they've been saying to me, I've had to cancel a course, and I've had to cancel some too. Because actually, as soon as you know that everybody's in that space and you can understand that maybe there's just an energy that everybody's in at the moment where they don't want to commit to courses, and then you don't feel like you're on your own. Yeah. I don't know. Was that relevant? Did I just go down a rabbit hole? Most probably. But it kind of is. It's that idea that everybody else is doing it perfectly that holds us back, I think. We think, oh, I'm only going to do this if I can get this many people and this many things in and do this many. And it doesn't always work like that. That Reiki course that I just taught, the Azumi Reiki course, had 20 spaces. And I ended up with 5 attending. I had some last minute cancellations, as is the way that things are at the moment. And it was so profound for me. And I just know if it hadn't been those exact 5 people, if it hadn't had the exact energy that it had, that I wouldn't have got from it what I needed to propel me forward. So sometimes what can feel like it's not working the way it should be is exactly what we need. But if I hadn't even been brave enough to book the hall and offer the course, then I wouldn't have got anything. So let me know what you think. I hope this makes sense. I always have to listen back to these and just go, oh my God, what was I talking about? Because spirit come in and they're inspiring me and I'm inspiring me and there's so much yab and yeah. But just take that step. What can you do today? And I'll catch up with you again soon.